Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com. Debate physics also. So I'll do some debating. You're debating somebody else's theory, and there won't be any point, counterpoint, and that's unfortunate, again, that really can't happen, apparently, among human beings, where somebody possibly stays on the subject, or defends what they argue, or any of that crap. So, this is a really... Alright, so the Sunsucker guy, I did talk to him like, I don't know, 3 years ago. I think. Yeah, we actually had a conversation. It wasn't too bad about some general doubts about how well the conventional model works, but he didn't get into any specifics, especially challenges to constants, which I don't even understand why he's challenging constants. I mean, most of the constants are pretty reliable constants. You know, like the speed of force, for example. I mean, he's arguing now that somehow there's a variable speed of force, that is speed of light. And what way could that possibly make any sense? Like every time you test it, any time you go look at how fast it's going, it's always going the right speed. So it's just too silly in a way. All right, so even understanding constants. Well, first, let's just understand. There's something, sometimes it's people have a personality conflict and that's just the way it is. So I really hate his style. I hate the name of his channel, Unsucker's Real Physics. I mean, yeah, right, sure. Yours is the real story. Sure it is. it's a little arrogant and obnoxious. And then everything he does, it does seem to be tainted by some sort of German prejudice. Like, the German physicists know what they're talking about, and it's just those dopey Feynmans and, those dopey Americans that got it wrong. That kind of stuff. He seems to have a real fetish for, like, Dirac and Einstein. And maybe it goes all the way back to Leibniz, who knows. A real horrible physicist, frankly. So he likes physics that, in my opinion, is just absolute shit. I mean, Dirac invented, antiparticles. It's just too silly. Disappearing particles, borrowing energy from the future. I mean, all kinds of wacky, silly ideas that just, can't possibly have anything to do with the truth. So anyway, so there's a lot to dislike and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, there's a lot of no ground... I mean, we have no foundational understanding that, I guess, would contain anything called a similarity. so there's nothing, obviously even this loop-de-doo image of whatever, this wormhole crap or something. Oh, yeah, the real physical small universe is doing this horse shit. Oh, please, too fucking stupid. Come on. Anyway, all right, so... Yeah, let's just go, we'll go through this. I mean, I'll play the 20 minutes. It's going to take a while. We'll speed it up a bit. He uses somebody else's voice, which is, I frankly would like him to just make his own videos. But, apparently he's conceded to the fact that, we should all be obsessed with presentation and gimmicks and bullshit. Why he's holding up this piece of shit book, The Mathematical Reality by some Alexander Ducker or something, I can't quite read, Decker, I don't know. Why? it's a theory of everything? So there's nothing about a theory of anything in this video. So he doesn't explain any theory. And again, it's about constants. So I could argue that, look, you have to have some sort of way to talk about things in the universe. So obviously distance makes sense. So you have to have some way of saying how long is something. And the fact is we could make a meter, 300,000 meters long, right? If I made a meter 300,000 meters long, then I could make the speed of light one, I can change the numbers anywhere I want. They're just relations between physical structures. But the idea that there's a dimension called length, and then there's another feature, another property something can have called mass. So those two things seem to me valid things to make constants out of. The fact that all the electrons weigh the same. Yeah, that's a kind of a constant, consistent thing. The fact that the little force elements move the same speed, all of them, it makes sense. It's a good constant. It's really reliable. It works, like, all the time, like, without any exceptions. So there are a couple of constants that have real integrity. Now, Planck's constant, yeah, I'd say that's horseshit. The idea that there is a value, a real number to it, but you're not going to know the real number, okay? It's just a little too hard for us to get to that little real number, and so we can make all kinds of mistakes. It's just like, look, they've identified a joule as an amount of energy, and yet they have experimental outcomes that don't make any sense. So again, do you really think a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour has 200 of these joule things, and a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour only has 100 of these joule things? So I'm just saying, obviously their answers can be way off, and who's gonna tattle on them? Nobody. So yes, I think there is a Planck's constant. I just don't think it's necessarily has anything to do with multiplying frequency times, I don't remember what they multiply it by. It doesn't matter. Unimportant.
Hi, today we will talk about a theory of everything. And I will start with a pretty mathematical remark.
Okay, he's really not going to talk about a theory of everything, and I really have to slow this down because there's no way. Okay, that's going to work. So there's no theory of everything in here. There's nothing that's going to unify physics or give you a very simplified explanation for the dynamic of motion in the universe. I would argue a theory of everything has to say something like, it's all momentum, or something like that. If it's not saying that, if it's not saying something simple like that, it's not saying anything at all.
It's a well-defined problem. In other words, if we talk about the theory of everything, do we really know what we are talking about?
Yeah. I mean, we're just talking about breaking it down into some sort of simple mechanism. So we have a phenomenon like a volcano. Now, you can think it's God's pimple. You could think it's God herpes. You could think lots of silly things. Or you could understand that it's a dynamic about heat and pressure buildup inside of hard rocks and blah, 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 blah. You could think something more rational. All right, so that's all there is. So yes, the theory of everything is just breaking it all down and saying, what is causing all of this stuff to move in the universe? Is it one simple kind of basic process, or is it a video game and it's being controlled by an iPod somewhere? I think the simple answer is no, it's something simple. It's a bunch of sticks and stones, and they can only do sticks and stone thing. They can't do anything else. They just do what sticks do, and they do what stones do.
What we are talking about when talking about a theory of everything, it is not as obvious as you might think.
Yeah, it is. I think it really is. It's that obvious. It's reductionism. You're just saying, give me the simple answer for how it works. I don't have to explain all the dynamics of a combustion engine, right? You just give you the simple explanation that, oh, it's about pressure and the fact that when you heat gas, it expands, and it expands, you know, at this exponential rate that allows you to gain a lot of energy.
Richard Feynman once mocked the concept, saying that the theory of everything is already there. The all-encompassing equation is...
Well, he didn't quote that, so... but anyway, okay, fine. The fact that when push came to shove, Feynman had his own dopey theory of everything. It's clearly Feynman's own dopey theory, right? The universe equals nothing because the universe is in balance. It's symmetry. So it's just an argument from symmetry. So the argument is the universe has as much shit going on here as it has going on here. There's as much going this way as there is going that way. So the universe equals zero. It's just a momentum argument. Let's not make it any more dramatic than that. So he's just saying it all reduces to zero if you take everything that went this way and you figure out that for everything that went this way, there was something else that went that way. So if in one place in the universe you have a lot of stuff going this way, well, someplace else in the universe you have a bunch of stuff going that way. So what? Not important. It doesn't talk about mechanism. It's not really a theory of everything. But he sort of is arguing it's momentum stupid, even though he's using the KE formulation here. Okay, he's basically saying it's about momentum stupid. All right. He's just got this square is just erroneously stupid. It shouldn't be there. So his equation is wrong because it has the wrong definition of energy.
Exists. It is U equals zero. Don't you believe? U equals zero stands for the sum over all UI, and each UI is defined as the quadratic deviation from the known laws of physics, such as Newton's second law or Einstein's famous formula. not convinced.
So, yes, no, I'm not convinced that that's exactly the correct formulation and that I could just rewrite it using momentum and it'll work just fine. There's a certain mass moving in the universe, and it's either in the form of a force going the speed of light or it's in the form of matter being pushed by a force going the speed of light and going slower than the speed of light. And that's all it is. But it's all in this universe. Descartes already pointed it out. It's just movement moving. That's it. Movement goes from one place to another place to another place to another place. That's it. It's just moving stuff from place to place.
We will come back why you're not convinced, but since this is also a video about science communication, I think it's not a bad idea if we try to define.
The whole thing is a convoluted pile of crap. He's saying he has these five principles, but the five principles actually have 753 sub-principles involved, axioms. So he's saying, I believe in five things. And then the first thing he's going to mention has 743 things in it. You know, axioms, things I'm supposed to accept as truth. Well, bullshit.
What are we talking about? I love, by the way, the irony of David Lindley.
There is no way to know in advance what this...
Sorry, name drops all over the place. Blah, 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 blah. Who cares?
Theory of everything will look like.
Okay, there's no way to know in advance what a theory of everything would look like. Well, yeah, there sort of is. The whole idea is the explanation isn't going to have some poof or woo in it, okay? So if you're going to explain how somebody ended up dead in the garage with a hammer next to their head, it's not going to involve quantum mechanics. So you can't understand what the dissection is going to look like. It has to be in this frame of some sort of... It's not going to have gremlins in it. There are no fucking gremlins. They're a fantasy, a fable, a made-up thing. Electrons aren't going to be made out of gingerbread baked by a witch. It's not going to happen.
But most physicists like to think when they see it, they will recognize it.
So they're basically just, he's just making the argument that, you know, frankly, you're surprised by how things can fall into place in the puzzle pieces. And you didn't think a certain piece would fit. You know, it's not leaves in the tree, but that's because it's really the bird in the tree. Okay, so it does belong in the tree, but you didn't realize, oh yeah, it's a bird, so it doesn't look like a leaf. You know, so it didn't look like it belonged, but it does belong. So you can be surprised, but it's really just about logic and putting facts into a grouping and saying, do all those facts add up? Do they all look the same? Is it in the English alphabet, or is it a squiggly line that really doesn't fit in the English alphabet? I mean, you can really do this logic thing.
But be honest, if someone shows up with a theory of everything, would you recognize? Would you really like to talk
about... Well, no, I wouldn't if it's anybody else's theory, because it's all full of wooey bullshit. All this strong interaction, there's no such thing. Weak interaction, no such thing. I mean, it's all full of a bunch of crap. It doesn't play any role, and it doesn't have any real evidence supporting it. This squiggly line thing flying through space, it doesn't do that. So yeah, it's a bunch of crap. It's not going to be the truth. Einstein is correct. It's describing a watch, the function of a mechanical device. It's only going to have so many pieces in it. It's only going to have so many moving parts, and it's just our obligation to get that right. But it's not going to be... It's not going to be a computer. The elemental bits aren't using computers.
About? Would you listen? Would you even want to know about? The problem of discussing a theory of everything is not so much about evaluating the correctness of calculations or deciding that something isn't...
Oh, the correctness of the calculations. More of this fucking obsession with math, which is a simplification of a circumstance. It's just a simple formalization. It's taking something like water's wet. That's all it's saying. It's saying water's wet, all right? It's not really getting into the nuances of all the things water is. It's just saying that this is the important relationship that exists. So math is just identifying certain important relationships and recognizing they have a certain reliable consistency. But not all of these formulas are absolutely correct. Some of them are just approximations. Some of them only work in certain circumstances, and in other circumstances, they completely fail. I mean, all of that has to be understood, that it's not true absolutely and always. And so there's no, they don't have any balance to this math function. They don't recognize the difference between a well-proven statement of mathematical truth and a underproven statement of mathematical truth.
In agreement with observations, but that the approaches are so different that it is hard to find common ground where even to start.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yes, right. I don't see any hope of you creating common ground when you just recite a bunch of your own personal axioms at me. Your fables. Well, Jesus lived, and he lived between 1482 and he was 7 feet tall, and he had a mustache. I don't want to believe any of that crap. I don't have any interest in believing any of that crap. So he's just going to recite a bunch of things that he says are experimentally proven that really aren't experimentally proven. They're interpreted from experiments, and the interpretations are, and frankly, silly.
I will guide you through a series of 5 statements you can agree or disagree with. I hope that everyone will agree on the first one, but they become increasingly...
So the first statement he backs up by completely destroying the integrity of the first statement. So the first statement is that we all should be guided by facts and evidence. Evidence. We're at a trial. We're going to convict somebody of murder. The idea is we should have lots of evidence on the table. We should have fingerprints and DNA and all kinds of good experiments that point right to that truth. So we all should respect evidence as being really important. Physical, experimental evidence. We all should love that. And I would say, yes, of course, I'm very interested in that. What I'm not interested in, you telling me that Eddington proved light is bent twice as much by gravity, or that any experiment otherwise done since Eddington has anything to do with the Eddington experiment, that you've ever even proved it. You ever proved that gravity is, that light is twice as bent by gravity? Somehow it's been proven. It hasn't been proven. There's no good evidence. And you certainly have no good evidence for 1/2 mv². Nothing. You can't show me an experiment where you collect this extra energy. This squared velocity energy.
Controversial. I will argue that all statements are correct, but if at a certain point you don't want to follow any longer, that's okay. At least we will know better what we're talking
about. Yeah, so whatever this means, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay with me. You can be a fucktard too. Go ahead, be a fucktard. I don't care. Go ahead. See if I care. It's okay. Yeah, it's the world that exists, but let's not pretend this is any way reasonable. That we can't agree on anything foundational. We can't do anything. You know, there's just no hope of ever speaking a common language. Every single fucking word is not going to be understood by each other. You know, we're going to do a trial where we can't have any common... Like every time I point to a bird, you're going to call it a penguin?
Talking about...
Penguins are birds. So it's an elephant.
Here's my first...
Well, Dumbo was technically a bird, right?
Statement.
Physics has achieved something based on fundamental...
All right, physics has achieved... So then he turns it into this slop. So he says evidence is really important, and then he turns it into this slop. Okay, physics has achieved something based on fundamental insights. Thus, to evaluate possible future insights... How can we evaluate future insights? I mean, it just doesn't make much sense. You have to evaluate them as they exist. Present insights, maybe. We should analyze the achievements of the past. No, we should just recognize that there are things that have been well established by evidence. So I would argue that, like the theory of evolution, some theories have been proven to be factual descriptions of actual reality. DNA molecules do control what biological organisms look like. Fact. All right, so let's go further and say certain things that we could say about the fact that atoms exist and that atoms have constituent parts that are made out of charged elements. You know, we can say certain things emphatically and some things we can't say emphatically. Okay, I would argue that they really don't know the pure relationship between electrons and protons in terms of their measuring their actual masses. Because you think their mass is their velocity squared. You're using a broken formula to ascertain the mass of the electron, so you're obviously not going to get the right number because you've assumed incorrectly that, as you know, any experiment you do where the velocity increases, that somehow it has even more mass.
Mental insights. Thus, to evaluate possible future insights, we should analyze the achievements of the past.
That's what I would call evidence-based.
Now, let's just accept. Okay, so yes, evidence-based science. Of course, everybody would agree, evidence-based science, good. what you say the evidence says that's the problem. So there's interpretation of experiments. You say the experiment can only be interpreted this way. So physics says the only way you can interpret the double slit experiment is that photons have to split in two and create two waves. Yeah, no, that's not the only way you can interpret the evidence.
We use cell phones because 150 years
ago... Oh, it's such a lie, you know, that any of this technology is dependent on any of these silly assumptions. So this is so too stupid. I mean, it's way too stupid. It's a lie, okay? Technical innovations happen incrementally, okay? And it's just through... It's through trial and error, frankly.
Go. Someone was curious about electromagnetic waves. We take pictures because in 1905, Einstein understood how light...
So what a pile of shit that this has anything else. A digital camera wouldn't work without your Einstein interpretation of what energy is. Bullshit. I mean, absolute bullshit. I mean, the digital camera is just an aggrandizement of a solar panel in a way. You've just basically taken the elements of a solar panel, detecting lots of energy in little tiny solar panels. So you create a matrix of solar panels so you can detect energy in different locations and remanufacture an image. I mean, it's nothing to do with relativity or any of this crap. You don't need to believe any of this crap to build one. It's just such a pile of shit. I just hate when these... morons do this crap, that any of these stupid physics arguments, that these you know, equations are the definition of the function, when no chance. You don't need to know it. You don't have to interpret it that way. You don't have to see it that way to invent the product. Fact.
It releases electrons from metals, and his theory of relativity is the reason why you know where you are using your GPS.
So more horseshit about, you know, there wouldn't we wouldn't recognize that clocks are broken if somebody didn't tell us time is dilated. No, they would have found out exactly the same fact. So let's say Einstein never suggested it. They would have put the satellites in space and said, hey, you know what? The clocks aren't matching. What the fuck do you think's going on? First, they might say, well, the satellite's going really fast. Maybe that's speeding up its clock. Because the actual circumstances is that we have the retarded clock here on Earth. We're actually moving too fast. We're actually moving faster. Because we're moving in heavier gravity. So you have two theories of relativity. One of them says speed is the factor. The other one says gravity is the factor. But the trick is that gravity is actually speed. The higher the gravity you're in, the more you're bouncing in the gravity. Therefore, the more distance you're traveling because you're traveling an unstraight line. You're not just orbiting around the Earth. You're bouncing the whole fucking time you're orbiting, okay? You can feel it right now. The gravity's pushing you into the ground. The ground's pushing you back. You're moving up and down. Trust me, it's happening. All right, you shouldn't even have to trust me. You should be able to do the logic yourself. If I constantly feel the ground pushing me back up, don't I have to be constantly pushing down? You know, and it didn't just happen once, right? It doesn't happen, oh, I sit down and that's the only time I push into the ground. No, it seems like obvious that I'm pushing into the ground all the time because the ground keeps pushing me back. I can feel it pushing me back right now. It's still doing it. It's not pushing me slowly back. No, I'm pushing in, it's pushing back. It's a jitter going on. I'm bouncing in the gravity. It's just so fucking obvious. So a simple explanation. We don't need any bent space. We don't need any curvatures. We don't need any fucking frames. We don't need any of that horse shit to explain the experimental evidence. So again, he's saying we have to believe all this crap. So he says experiments prove. These experiments don't prove your conclusions.
Since we are interested in fundamental theories, let's go a little bit deeper here and consider the sensational discovery of electromagnetic waves by Heinrich Hertz.
So again, he's saying he discovered waves. No, what he discovered was the spark creates frequencies that I can detect at a different location. It's doing something, okay, that I can detect. It's creating a phenomenon that I can detect. Waves in what? What are you talking about? Up, this stuff is going up and down, stuff is going sideways. What the fuck is this shit? That's not an explanation. That doesn't tell me anything about reality. Oh, my field is vibrating. Field of what? What are you talking about? Oh, the red ether and the blue ether. What? So what? Where's the any evidence that he discovered a wave? Oh, that's right. There's no evidence of a wave. There's evidence of a frequency. Events happening in a sequence. That's what there's evidence of. All the rest is a pile of crap you made up to place on top of it. You're saying the bat is a bird. I'm saying, no, the bat's a different kind of animal. It's a mammal. It's not a bird.
1886. It boils down to a very simple formula.
So he showed it for a brief period of time, and it had the two stupid things in it, right? So they had two constants. Before they had the speed of light, they had two silly constants that they made up. Okay, and they gave them silly names, epsilon zero and mu zero or some kind of bullshit. And it called the permutivity of space and the permeability of space. Okay, these two silly words even. And it really just had to relate to the fact that they had already ascertained that there's a delay, okay, in the response through induction. That it is not instantaneous. The event of induction isn't instantaneous, whether it's magnetic or electrical. It isn't instantaneous. And that's what those two constants were reflecting, was the delay created. All right? And it ends up that, yes, they're completely relatable to the speed of light. So it's no big surprise. Because, yes, light is another force, just like magnetism and electricity and gravity. They're all the same fucking goddamn shit, just slightly different in its manifestation.
The electric and magnetic constants epsilon naught and mu naught are related to the speed of light c.
Right, and they're related, and they were never measured constants. So just understand, no one went out and measured the permutivity of space. Nobody measured the permeability of space. Nobody even knows what the fuck those two things are.
That means light is an electromagnetic wave from a methodological perspective.
No, says you, bullshit, I say, fuck you. You didn't prove that. I don't have to believe it. So, yeah, no, not happening. Wave in what?
However, this equation reduces the number of constants from 3 to 2. One constant.
All right, so this constant obsession is just too silly. So, again, the one constant we know is that the speed of force is a constant, the speed of light. And we know the mass of electrons, constant. The mass of the force bits, you could argue, is constant. That's Planck's constant, okay? How much momentum it's capable of delivering is quantizable. So we know that that little quantum in the universe, that quantum of energy, is a constant. And that's it. That's all you need. The rest of it's all bullshit. The rest of it is just a building on top of those constants. So there's only those simple ones. You don't need any others. There's no other physical feature that matters. There's just mass and velocity. So once you know the mass and you know the velocity, you know all there is to know.
Let us then consider the example of Johann Jacob Balmer, who in 1885 discovered a formula that explained a variety of spectral lines with just one number called Rydberg's constant.
Right. So again, there's no context to this. But again, as soon as you see the one over thing or the thing over one, oh, just scream bullshit. Game playing. One over minus one over. I mean, it's just too silly.
Tremendous simplification. And some 30 years later, Niels Bohr expressed Rydberg's constant by other constants of nature.
So Niels Bohr, the guy who believed the universe doesn't really exist, and, you know, fuck physics, it's all woo space. It's pretty much just a god botherer, frankly. Yuck. I mean, look, you really think all any of this crap means anything? E4, 8C. You really think the universe is based on 8C? You know, it's like every time you see something like 4 pi, you really think I can't just multiply 4 times 3 times 3.1 and like, okay, so 4 times 3.1 is 12.4. How's that interesting? That's the magic number? Oh, fuck you.
Again, one constant less. I would claim that this is epistemological progress of quantum mechanics, but you may have an objection, or, hey, don't we need...
Yeah, I just say, why are you bothering with this nonsense? Why do you care about any other... Like I said, what else is happening in the universe but things moving from point A to point B, and they move there at a certain speed, and they're carrying a certain mass? And the mass and the speed equal your momentum. So a feather and a hammer can both fall in gravity. They fall at the same speed, but obviously the hammer has collected a lot more momentum. It's collected a lot more force, because when it hits the ground, it will show you all of the force it collected. So even though it seems like, well, it's the same force, it's obviously not the same amount you're collecting. So it obviously depends on your sailboat, right? So I can metaphor it a lot of ways, right? If I made a rule for sailboats, okay, and the rule was the size of your boat and the size of your sail was a fixed relationship and you could never change it. So it has to be 4-to-1, let's say. So the mass of the boat and the size of the sail is a 4-to-1 relationship and you never change it. It doesn't matter what size boat I would make, and it doesn't matter what wind I would put it in, they would all sail at the same speed then. But you would know that the big heavy boat with the big giant sail, when it hits the ground, is going to plow into it and make a spectacular amount of noise and do all kinds of things, and the little light boat isn't going to do anything because it didn't catch as much wind. And all Newton's equation is basically saying is telling you what the wind speed is at different locations in space. It's just telling you how much wind is blowing towards the Earth at a different location. And then the rest of it's going to be dictated by the fact that the mass is the size of your sail. So yes, you'll all go the same velocity when you're in the wind, but you're not going to have the same momentum.
Schrödinger's equation for quantum mechanics, or Maxwell's theory of electrodynamics for C. Yes, we need sophisticated math to justify these simplifications.
Again, C squared, a velocity squared. Why would you waste time squaring a velocity? Velocity is not a dimension. You can't square. You can't make a square out of a velocity. It's just intrinsically nonsense. All this is saying is big number. Yeah, divide 1 by a very, very big number. So you can get a little tiny number. Yeah, how exciting.
Could be vector analysis for Maxwell's theory or Hilbert spaces in quantum.
All right, vector analysis. There's another way of saying we made up some crap about how conservation works that absolutely doesn't work. And we'll call some things vectors and we'll call some things scalars because sometimes we want to pretend there's negative numbers and sometimes we don't want the bother of negative numbers. That's just more arbitrary bullshit. Designed math. The math is designed to produce the outcome. It isn't a byproduct of what the evidence says. They've already prejudged, and now they're creating evidence to defend the theory.
Quantum mechanics or even differential geometry.
But at the end of the day, it is important that you have less arbitrary numbers that describe reality.
So anyway, none of the numbers are arbitrary. So he says less arbitrary numbers. The speed of light is not an arbitrary number. None of the numbers are arbitrary. They clearly can be pointed to exactly why we believe them. We accepted the meter before we accepted the speed number. So the meter became the definition for how you judge how many distances something traveled in a certain amount of time, blah 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 blah. It's that simple. But they're not arbitrary numbers. They're certainly right there, overtly connected to each other. So change the length of the meter and you can make the number change. Okay, you want to change the gravitational constant to a different number, you want to change it to 44. Okay, just change the length of a meter and you can change it to 44.
Progress is done when you have a constant of nature explained, which brings us directly to our second statement.
Doesn't it seem like your search engine...
I just wanted to point out, it's just littered with commercials. So a video that doesn't realistically going to get more than like 5,000 views, I mean, I think 5,000 views pays like $1, you know, something like that. So why couldn't he demonetize? This is a video he's entering into the contest, right? The theory of everything guy contest. And so what's the point? You're going to put ads on the video? Come on. For a buck? Too silly.
Has its own agenda, replacing the results you're looking for with the ones they prefer.
Frank.
Introducing Neva, the search engine.
In the past, progress was related to reducing the number of natural constants. The less unexplained numbers, the closer we are to a theory of everything.
If you expect that these statements are far from mainstream physics, I must disappoint you. A lot of people agree here.
Whatever. So a lot of people agree. So what? And we should trust them. Why? And they, like, again, these are all these physicists can't even figure out that it's really stupid to have two theories of energy. You know, kinetic energy and momentum. That is illogical. that both of them can't be conserved, both of them can't be real. It's just bullshit. Two completely different definitions of the same thing. It's both three and it's seven. It's that stupid.
These fundamental constants we have, the more we have understood.
Yes. Not to me.
All right. So they're just saying, look, the fundamental constants, again, they're not fundamental constants. They're abstract constants. They're constants based on some other fundamental constant. So you're just saying, look, I already figured out how much an electron weighs, and now I just multiply the weight of an electron times the weight of a pigeon, and that'll be another constant, you know, as long as pigeons will always weigh the same thing. You know, that kind of thing. It's just multiplying a constant times a constant to get some third number that obviously has to be a constant because the other two have to be constants. But who cares?
Albert Einstein, who favored an extrapolation of the above statements, a satisfactory theory of reality must do without any arbitrary numbers. He said,
I cannot imagine a reasonable unified...
Right, so it's not about arbitrary numbers. Again, it's not arbitrary. You have to choose a distance to do your measurements in. So whether a meter is this long, or it's this long, or it's this long, or it's this long, it has to be something. You have to have some way of identifying distance. So you have to increment it in some unit. There has to be units. And the real point is that what units do you need? Well, you need distance to measure velocity, and then you need weight to measure power or momentum. And that's all you really have. Weight, the mass of something will tell you how much energy it's going to take to move it. And obviously the distance will be the way you will define how much velocity it has and therefore momentum. But that's really the only two things we need units for is, well, time. So that's the third one. So you need length, mass, and time. And that's it. And then you've done. Those are the three units you have to create. Once you've created those three units, then you can establish a universal connection between all these different things that have consistency. So yes, the electrons all weigh the same. You can establish the weight. You could establish what their velocity is going to be or their momentum is going to be based on how much velocity they have. All of that stuff can be defined by the constants you establish. The constancy of the speed of light is a well experimentally proven reality. The fact that electrons all weigh the same, they convey the same charge, they convey the same momentum, the fact that that's what electrons reliably do, yes, it can be established that all electrons are identical. That's a constant. You can depend on it.
Theory containing an explicit number which the whim of the creator could just as easily have chosen differently. Let us
So I'd say he's just taking Einstein's statement out of context, and Einstein is merely stating that there would be nothing arbitrary, okay, about a constant that is completely definable as just a unit. You've established the constant because you have to have a unit of measurement. I mean, again, the gravitational constant is only the gravitational constant in the context of meters and seconds. If I change meters or I change seconds, I change the number.
Take, however, an even broader perspective and think about how intellectual progress is linked to a simplification. Great thinkers such as Galileo Galilei from Pisa have closely observed falling objects.
But Galileo measured actually the acceleration is just a nice legion, but he did perform some experiments here.
There is an almost...
So he can afford a trip to Italy, but, you know, so he did it out of these dollars he's collecting from ads on this video? Oh, no, I don't think so.
Infinite amount of data of how objects behave under the influence of gravity. However, all these trajectories, well, almost all, eventually boiled down to one single value, local gravity. That means, in an
So that doesn't even make sense. It boils down to the gravitational constant. That tells you you can figure out the gravity at any location in space based on the masses of all the things around you using the constant, not using 9.8 meters per second. The local gravity has absolutely nothing to do with that. So I don't even know what he's trying to argue there. The gravitational constant is the thing that allows you to get the right answer. Not 9.8 meters per second. That has to be interpreted into the gravitational constant for you to use it on some other planet or to use it some other place in space. If you want to figure out the gravity in some other place in space, you need the gravitational constant. You don't need 9.8 meters per second.
abstract way, it is a simplification and at the core of scientific understanding. And the lack of simplicity probably disturbed you in Feynman's fake formula U equals zero. Understanding number.
So he calls it Feynman's fake formula, when I think you could say that about Einstein's fake formula. His fake notion that there's an equivalency principle, his fake notion that light is bent twice as much by gravity. Fake, 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 fake. So it's just what makes this physics just such bullshit, is that he thinks he can, like I said, I hate Feynman. I mean, I hate Feynman's physics. I liked Feynman. I just didn't like what he was saying. And same with Einstein. Half of what Einstein said I really like, and the other half is he's just a hypocrite, right? He's anti-woo, except his own woo. But he did admit, I've been studying photons for 50 years and I haven't improved my understanding one iota. He's conceding that, he really doesn't get it. doesn't sound like what he said in the past shouldn't sound like he has the answer, because he's conceding he doesn't understand one of the most elemental functioning bits in the universe. I mean, it's a pretty big concession to, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
This is the job of a theoretical physicist. Now Newton comes along, wonders about this number, and explains it with
I don't even know what he's talking about here. Now Newton comes along. So it goes from Einstein to Newton, which doesn't, obviously that's the wrong order. And I don't think he wondered about this number before he found the number. So again, that's not true. What he wondered was what causes it to move. And then he realized the moon's doing the same thing the apple's doing in terms of its movement, the pressure. And that what keeps the moon out there is the fact that it has a velocity. And if I give the apple the velocity, it would do the same thing. It would not stay on the Earth. It would leave the Earth, go into orbit. So the moon's just a big apple that left the Earth. And you could sort of make the argument, you could metaphor it to that, that if I had a big giant moon sitting on the Earth and I wanted to get rid of it, I don't lift it up. I just push it sideways fast enough and it'll leave itself.
Even more general formula, a formula that holds for more than 90,000 objects in the solar system. Quite a simplification. Let us consider also the influence of visionary ideas, which are not...
So let's just understand, it wasn't a simplification, it was the first definition. So again, it wasn't a simplification. He took the facts that they could ascertain, the inverse square law, different elements of the truth, and he just shoved them together and gave you an answer that just says, look, this is all that matters. It's just going to be about velocity, okay? How fast are you moving and what direction are you moving through a field that is basically just the inverse of a light bulb, okay? It's an inverse pushing force. I don't know. It's the absence of a balance. So there's a wind blowing towards the center of the Earth, and all he's just going to tell you is that if you tell me how strong I can tell you how strong the wind is at every location, just tell me how heavy the Earth is, and I'll tell you how strong the wind is.
Not primarily mathematical, Newton's observation earthly and celestial motion had the same origin. Bohr's flash of genius that Planck's constant could be seen.
So flash of genius, this is all the rhetoric that I'm supposed to believe, that this flash of wooey bullshit has anything to do with the truth. 2π, the magical 2π. What's that there for? Who knows?
Seen as angular momentum of the electron.
I mean, why don't they just put the number? 6.2. So L equals H over 6.2. Why are they putting this pi thing here? what's that there for? We already know pi is a number. It's a constant. Why don't we just put the number there? Then we'll know the magical number is 6.2. 6.2 is somehow a magical number.
Orbiting the nucleus.
It seems that fundamental progress has often three ingredients. A visionary idea, a mathematical...
And your definition of fucking progress is what? What's your definition of progress? I'd argue that progress has all been made out of the innovations that take place through experimentation. The Wright brothers didn't have a lot of theory. They had a lot of perseverance, okay? And decided to just keep fiddling with it until it flew. All right? That's the fact. That a lot of this invention is... the byproduct of accident, not purpose. It took 20 years to get to a blue LED. So obviously it wasn't just theory that worked. It was the idea that you had to just keep trying different materials and different things in different ways to, you know, what little bits of insight you could get about what might make the difference. Anyway, take a little pause. Continuing.
Formalism that justifies it, and at the end, a simplification that explained arbitrary numbers. Let me back this argument with another.
All right, so again, the numbers are not arbitrary, so it's just silly to say they're arbitrary. They're not from nowhere, they're not random, they're not erroneous, they're not any of that kind of crap. It's the wrong word to use, it's bad vocabulary, they are coherent numbers based on the fact that we have to choose something to, we have to choose a unit. Doesn't matter what the unit is, there just has to be one.
The deep thinker, the philosopher Thomas Kuhn.
Thomas Kuhn, in his landmark book, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, introduced the concept of...
All right, right. So all this talk, landmark book, by who? Whose definition? I never even heard of the guy. You know, bullshit.
Normal science, a period in which unexpected results called anomalies accumulate. These anomalies are integrated in the existing paradigm, that is, the accepted theories.
Anomalies like what? They assigned plus and minus wrong, and you have a bunch of fucking Maxwell equations that are all fucked up, where you have amperage going the wrong, you have current traveling in the opposite direction of voltage, which doesn't make any sense at all. It's not a physically rational model, because you never fixed it. So yeah, you end up with anomalies that are fucking, the anomalies are not accidents. They're on a purpose when you accept the wrong answer and say, well, let's not bother fixing it.
Which become more complicated, however.
Let's not bother. Okay, again, they have MV squared. It doesn't work. It's crap. They don't want to fix it.
However, scientific revolutions instead introduce radical simplifications called paradigm shifts.
Oh, whatever. This whole word paradigm shift is just such a pile of crap. Like, you're getting closer and closer to the truth. No, you're getting further and further from the truth. You people are getting so cold. You're so off on a bizarre tangent with all this mathematical goop and your silly abstractions. I mean, you're just so far from getting the right answer. These are not paradigm shifting simplifications. They're fucking insanely stupid complications. This is a complification. This is not a simplification. Relativity, Einstein's fucking math is convoluted muck. 8 pi.
Such revolutions are often explanations of constants of nature. On the other hand, a newly discovered constant may be called an anomaly. To get rid of the...
This new discovered constant would be what? What other constants are there besides the mass of electrons and protons? The mass of, you could argue, the Planck mass, you know, the mass of a force element, a quanta of force, and then velocities. What else is there? Distances they travel. That's all there is. There's nothing else to make a constant out of. You have force that has momentum, and you have matter that has momentum. And I argue that the only constants that really matter are the force constants, because obviously the matter is just pushed around by the force. But I think that's obvious to me. It's not obvious to you.
These anomalies is the essence of theoretical understanding.
So I hope you agree that it is the job of a theoretical physicist to explain constants of nature, but...
No, they don't need to explain why there are constants of nature. There have to be constants of nature if you're going to make the universe out of a substance. Unless you have evolution and you created ducks and frogs and pigs and goats and all of these different things, you can't have a bunch of different things in the elemental universe. The elemental function has to be checkerboard. All you have is the size of the squares and the size of the checkers. There's not much else going on.
Maybe you're not immediately happy with my third statement.
As a matter of principle, most constants of nature can be eliminated.
You may raise...
Why bother? Why would I bother wasting my time? And again, some of the constants are derivative of a constant times a constant, so who cares? Are there a derivative of a half constant, you know, some like mu zero.
A couple of objections here, such as what is a constant of nature, or that we can get rid of them easily. But keep in mind, as Einstein said,
numbers arbitrarily chosen by God do not exist.
So again, I don't think Einstein was saying anything other, okay, or anything more complicated than there's, you know, God didn't choose the numbers. The physical universe is choosing the numbers, in the sense is the relationships. And it's just our obligation to assign those proportions accurately. I mean, obviously he has he makes equations. He obviously has respect for constants. He wouldn't bother saying C squared if he didn't have some respect for the C is pretty reliable.
Their alleged existence relies on our incomplete understanding.
By the way, I don't blame you if you disagree with some ideas how to calculate constants of nature, but at least...
Okay, you don't calculate the constant of nature, you observe them. So again, that's just bullshit again, that we calculate the speed of light. No, we observe the speed of light. We observe the mass of an electron, or the momentum of it anyway.
We must try it.
Let us try to shortcut what could be discussed endlessly. What is a constant of nature? We may simply assume any observational data, since these condense into a few numbers once we have understood the law.
So you can't even figure out what he's doing here, right? Because obviously these wouldn't be constants. Now the parabola that they all travel would be a constant. So that's because that's based to gravity again. So gravity is really the constant that decides the parabola that these water waves travel, these water jets. so that would be a constant. But obviously he's showing something where there's obviously more pressure from the water coming out this way than there is pressure from the water going this way, that kind of thing. Well, obviously we're looking at a spider, so they're all the same. It's just visually these are closer. So the big ones are closer to us. So that's all this is. So it's a fountain where the water is being shot from the outside from the same perimeter to a center. And we just have the wrong focal length. I mean, we're not looking at it from on top. We're looking at it from the side. So therefore, these jets look like they're higher and bigger when they're not.
People have tried to count the number of fundamental constants. And I will not enter this debate here.
Okay, so people have tried. So he won't tell us who those people are and who he's arguing with. Then I don't think anybody gives a shit about how many constants there are. I would certainly argue there's only two or three relevant ones. Again, you need a unit of mass, you need a unit of velocity, you need a unit of distance, which is velocity, and time. So yeah, time, distance, mass. You only need three to define a constant. Then you go out and look for something that always does that the same way. You look for something that goes the same distance and the same time, and you call that a constant, like the speed of light. It's a distance and a time that is always the same. Constant.
If it is 6, 19, 31, or whatever number. Let us agree that we must calculate and explain these numbers if we want to make progress. Otherwise...
Oh, just insanely stupid. No, that's regression. The more time you waste on the standard model and all these convoluted statements about all these fields that don't exist and all these antiparticles that don't exist and all this absolute nonsense, entanglement, all of it. It's just such crap.
Just forget about the theory of everything and everything what you have heard about.
Guys, don't you all believe that all those puzzle ads were fake and there's no such game?
Jesus. Gross.
Let us consider a list of constants, following more or less a chronological order of their discovery, the speed of light C, the gravitational constant G, Planck's quantum of action, the fine structure constant 1/137, proton electron.
Right, so that one's not too reliable, but obviously the G one is pretty reliable in the sense that that's what's been found, is that no matter what mass you use, you can accurately predict how much pressure it will create in terms of how much movement it will cause in another body. So it's a constant amount of force absorption, I would argue, is what takes place. Matter consumes energy. Just by being in space, it's consuming the energy that's in the universe, because the universe has to keep jiggling it. And it's consuming energy by moving it around, even though it's not going anywhere. By jiggling it, it's consuming energy from the universe. and that's gravity. But anyway, take a break. Ah, it's kind of an interesting point that I took the break on. It's right here. This is the Helmholtz coil weighing the mass of the electron experiment. And the funny thing about this experiment is it's completely dependent. They ascertain the mass by ascertaining the momentum and the kinetic energy. That is, they're using the kinetic energy formula. So they're deducing the mass by the exaggerated energy they're creating. And then they're saying the energy created is its momentum. Okay, it's MV. So obviously it must have a very huge amount of mass if it can acquire this amount of momentum, the energy. So they exaggerate how much energy it has based on its velocity, because they've exaggerated the speed. They said the speed means it has billions of joules of energy that it doesn't really have because of how fast it's going. And then they're going to deduce, based on how fast it's going, how much it weighs. And again, so their weight number is going to be bullshit. So this number doesn't really mean anything, because their weight number of the electron is based on a wrong assumption that the velocity, that they've accepted 1/2 mv squared as the definition of its energy, and therefore they have assigned it velocity more of an import than mass. So I guess the mass would be higher. I have to think that through, which number gets bigger. So they've underestimated the mass of the electron because of the way they're measuring it. But again, so it's all these experiments are subject to interpretation, and your interpretation has to be based on some sort of thought process that's correct. And so if you made wrong assumptions somewhere in the process of analyzing the experiment, obviously the conclusions are going to be garbage. And so this turns into garbage. Okay.
Proton mass ratio 1836, the proton mass, the proton radius, and considering cosmology, also the radius and mass of the universe.
Right. So all these, these are only constants because you're assuming, again, the relationship between the mass of the electron and the mass of the proton. Those are already two constants. So you're just making a third constant out of two constants that already exist. So they're not magical. There's nothing magical about that. You don't call it a real fundamental constant. Because it's a combination of two other constants. There's no other way to say that, really. So what to do with this video? It's going to be really long, so I think I'll cut it off here, and I'll decide to do the second half. So we'll go a little further and truly get to halfway.
In case you missed something, such as the elementary charge, keep in mind that it may be included in the definition of the fine structure constant. Thus, we are talking about independent constants that are not explained by others so far.
Now, this is...
They're really not independent constants, so there's no point in saying that. So that's just bullshit. They're not independent constants. They're constants derived from combining constants.
Of course, not complete, and I do not even claim these are the most important ones, but we can say...
Yeah, so you're just talking shit, is what you're saying. This doesn't have anything to do with foundational physics or elemental physics. It really doesn't have anything to do with the theory of everything. It just has to do with you making some rhetorical point that I can't possibly understand why I should give a shit. Constants aren't the problem with your theories. Wacky, gremlin-based, jump-the-evidence... bizarre interpretations, that's the problem with your physics.
Please say that without calculating those, you hardly get anywhere.
I mean, dark matter, dark energy, all of these little made-up gremlins, bent geodesics, warped space, time, blah, 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 fourth dimensions. I mean, I can just say that one over and over again because it's just such a breaking of all vocabulary. What's the point of having a word if you're going to break what it means? A physical dimension is dependent on having a perpendicular, a 90-degree angle to the other dimensions. You can't put a fourth dimension in. There's no room for it. There's no place for it to be. It can't possibly do it. So why talk about it? It doesn't exist. Time is a function. It's not a dimension. It's not a place. the time.
One of my favorite anecdotes is about two young physicists approaching Paul Dirac.
Mr. Dirac!
So this is his favorite anecdote. What?
Dirac, we have a new...
It's a story. I don't even know if it's an anecdote, frankly.
Theory, listen to us for a minute.
Can you calculate the fine structure constant?
Yeah, can you? Without inventing antimatter?
Well, come back when you have done it. But also Richard Feynman said, it's one of the greatest damn mysteries of physics. All good theoretical physicists put this number up on their wall and worry about it.
Whatever. I don't think so, frankly. I really don't. I really don't think so. I don't think it's a meaningful number. But whatever.
Let's be clear. I'm not saying a theory of everything is an easy thing. But as a matter of principle, it is
thing. It will be an easy thing. That's the whole argument. And Feynman said that. Feynman said, look, it might all just be really simple. Checkerboard. And it's a really big checkerboard. And we just haven't gotten that part because we can't see it. Because there's so much to it that we can't put it in the right perspective. But it could be very simple. So he conceded the point, even though he was arguing, oh, the universe is random and God does play dice with the universe. Which is horseshit.
That one day we might be able to calculate these numbers.
Someone may worry also about the mass of the muon,
tauon,
W and Z bosons, or even the entries of the Kibibel-Kobayashi-Moskawa matrix. Indeed, there are a lot of parameters nature...
Whatever. So all this crap, somebody's supposed to know what all that crap is. You know, all this abstract horseshit. Hamiltonians and all this other mishmush. forget it. Yeah, no, I don't believe any of that crap. Certainly don't understand it. I certainly can't conceptualize it. And I think it's more mush than the silly dark matter and the silly dark energy. It's even mushier mush. All right, so...
seems to provide us with.
I admit that I have my opinions about the standard model. And maybe sometimes I have been too controversial in my publications. Here...
Whatever that even means. You're sitting here defending mush, and then you're saying, well, yeah, some of the mush I don't defend, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know if you're making any distinctions between the mush you do and don't defend. What's the big difference between the mush you like and the mush you don't like? Because frankly, I can't see any reasonable difference. Yeah, sorry. No sale. But anyway, so till the next time and such... I don't know if it's worth me playing the rest of this crap because it's the same crap. Over just more and more of this constant crap. Who the fuck cares? Blah, 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 blah. Yuck. And then he ends with some quadratical thing or something. We all should be in quadricentrals or something. You know, some sort of bullshit. Ugh. Nothing, there's nothing. This isn't the mechanical universe he's describing. It's some other kind of fucking abstract mathematical gibberish. Shit. Brains wasted all over the place. So anyway, enough of a video. So till the next time and such, this has been at draftphysics.com. Debatephysics.com, but not much specifically to debate. It'd be nice to be able to debate the meaning of a word, like dimension. Should I call something that can't possibly be a dimension? I don't think so.